Now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
You can't even stay away from your Twitter account on vacation.
Correct.
Little Bird told me that the other day. She wasn't complaining or anything, but...
Oh, and you saw my wife.
Yeah, she was just commenting.
What did she say?
Honesty. Just how challenging it is for you to actually vacate when you're on vacation.
Like I told her, we had this talk the other day.
Not that she was venting or anything.
Told her and we...
Not that she was looking for an ear. Let me pour you another one, Mindy.
I don't care where we're going to be. I'm finding a way to check Twitter.
That's insane. You're going to be in Europe. So don't tell me you're going to go on a European vacation with your family. Worrying about who's tweeting what to whom.
Social media is bringing us all closer together.
That's whack, bro.
That's whack, bro.
That's whack.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Kolchak scores!
Beauty. Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Welcome in to an absolutely phenomenal morning in the greatest city in the world. We're back to even. 2-2. That's right. Hawks and Lightning are locked up. He's the lead columnist for the Tribune. David Haw. I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson, the most celebrated producer in this building, is our executive producer. In fact, when they have producer meetings,
yeah,
all the other producers, Kristen Decker and Kevin Powell, they all wait for him to eat because they know he is the king of producers.
That's right.
Has Mike eaten yet? Okay, now we can start.
Right, I heard that.
He's our executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer, PG-13. Pat Costello is our director. All right, we were there last night.
Morning, Cap.
Hawk, good morning. Hawks, get her done. Find a way.
They find a way. Great teams find a way to win when they aren't at their best. And I don't think anybody watching last night would call that the best the Blackhawks have to offer.
No.
They win anyway. And it's the second time in this series, as we're all even at 2-2, that the Hawks, I think, stole a game in which they were outplayed. Game one, they were outplayed. They won. Game four, they were outplayed. They win anyway. 2-2 going back to Tampa Saturday night. I don't know what to make of the best of three now because I think that the Lightning have to feel like they missed an opportunity here. And you start to wonder, the same things that we said about the Blackhawks coming out of game three and really throughout the series, when you have a great opportunity and you don't cash in, you miss an open net, right? Marian Hossa, will it come back and haunt you? I think bigger picture, the Lightning may look at this, may start to wonder if at the end of the series they're going to look back and think, "There, that was our open net. We missed it."
Right, but
now we let them back in.
But last night, 2-1, Hawks didn't play great. I get all that. They hit a post. They hit another post. They had a redirect go just past the post, and they had Kimmo Tiivanen hit a crossbar.
Yeah, but the Lightning had their share of
they did
hit posts and near misses and those things too. That's hockey, baby.
No question about it.
That's hockey,
Kaner.
So I understand that sentiment, but the Lightning have let the Hawks breathe now. Exhale. Maybe get their second wind. It's a tired team. I mean, they've played a lot of hockey. And just talking about playing a lot of hockey, you know, even may have the effect of, you know, the mental toll, the realizing they've played a lot of hockey. The mental grind is as demanding as the physical grind, Cap, at this stage. And so they're looking for any way to get rejuvenated. I think that was part of the thing behind Joe Quenneville juggling the lines, putting the names in a hat and picking them out, which at times it seemed like he did. It kind of shook things up for a team that needed things shaken up.
Yeah, Keith Jones said yesterday the line changes were insane.
That's one way
so
to describe
Corey Crawford
it.
Crawford going to hell from one guy and the other guy's insane, the coach. So I'm watching.
Well, we'll get back to the line changes because they were unorthodox, to be kind.
Okay, I grabbed something to eat after Sports Talk Live.
Yeah.
And then I'm in my seats. I like watching warm-ups. I like watching them flip puck, Kaner flip pucks to the crowd and, you know, firing shots at Darling and at Crawford. And they dropped the puck, and I look, and I said to my wife, is Brett Richards playing wing?
Yeah.
Well, she's like, no, he's a center. I'm like, I know he's a center, but it looks to me like he's at wing.
Well, the first,
I'm on Twitter. Yes, he is.
The first odd thing that showed up was that the way they started the game. They started the game with Andrew Shaw taking the opening faceoff at center.
Mm-hmm.
At center! After being such a productive part of the fourth line at wing. And so he was on the ice with Andrew Saad. Brandon Saad.
Yep.
It's early. And Patrick Kane. Remember last year, the 2014 Western Conference Finals? Wasn't that the KSS line? Kane, Shaw, and Saad. Remember they were so effective against the Kings? Well, they started the game last night, and you're like, what happened between warm-ups and now?
Right.
Did I miss something? And I'm like, okay, I must have just, like, overlooked this little nugget today. Talking to you, doing the show, whatever. Did we miss something? And then you find out later that, no, this was intentionally concealed gamesmanship. The Hawks came out. All the players knew. They went through warm-ups in the normal lines, and then they put the whole switcheroo.
And then the Lightning take the ice, and you go, whoa.
How about that?
That's Andre Vasilevsky.
And I'm thinking, Cap said Bishop wasn't hurt, so what's going on here?
Right.
But you did come around.
I did come around.
And Ben Bishop was hurt. And Vasilevsky, 20-year-old Russian rookie, starting his first NHL playoff game, Cap. And I tweeted this before the game. I wrote it in the paper today, and I said it last night when it happened, and I believe it. If you cannot beat – due respect to how he played and due respect to how highly regarded he is. But if you're the Blackhawks, two-time Stanley Cup champion since 2010, full of veterans, the core, the best core in the league, right? If you cannot beat a 20-year-old making his first NHL playoff start on your ice in Game 4 and what to me practically represented a must-win, you don't deserve to win the trophy.
I don't know if I'd go that far. That guy's – I read it on Twitter last night. I'm looking him up. He's in the net. I'm like, I got to look this guy up. I go on there and I found an NHL scout said he will be the dominant goalie in the NHL over the next decade.
I know.
Dominant goalie in the league.
Cap, I understand all those things. He's still a prospect, right? Let me ask you this. If you're, let's use a local example. If you're playing the White Sox, would you rather face Chris Sale or Carlos Rodon today in a big game that matters?
Would you rather face Miguel Montero or Chris Bryant? Chris Bryant's a rookie.
I don't know.
You could write that same narrative.
I don't know that. I don't know that's an apt comparison. I mean, you're talking about a big stage for a 20-year-old rookie. You can rattle him who didn't realize he was starting until he got to the arena. All I'm saying is that if you're the Blackhawks and your biggest strength about being here is your experience and championship pedigree, then you've got to look at that as an opportunity, right?
You do. But he's a healthier goalie, obviously.
Well, Ben Bishop obviously was not good and didn't feel well enough to play, but he played well through some adversity in Game 3. He was a big reason they won that game. So you get him out of the net healthy or whatever, I think that is a sign to the Hawks that you need to do the things that are all cliche, create traffic, make him sweat, shots on the net, and they did none of that in the first period.
By the way, Vasilevsky knew all day he was starting.
I thought they said yesterday that he was a little surprised.
Tampa Tribune. After the morning skate, rookie Andre Vasilevsky was told by Coach John Cooper, you're in.
Okay. There was a different story circulating post game, but that gave him what? 8 hours to prepare?
Yep.
Mentally?
Now is he has 2 days, 2.5 days to think about it if he's starting Saturday, although Cooper said last night,
don't know
Bishop
yet.
Will play in this series again at some point.
Well,
don't know when.
And he knows it's going to be, there's going to be a game six. The one thing that guaranteed last night, there will be another home game at the United Center. There will be one more trip there. So if Ben Bishop comes back, I thought that was an awful bold statement for John Cooper to make. Because, number one, he backs him into a corner a little bit by saying that. Cap, look at the scenarios from the Tampa perspective. If you lose with Vasilevsky on Saturday night, then are you going back to Bishop for Game 6 in Chicago? That's a that, you know, will he be rusty? Will he be healthy? Those are some there's some uncertainty there. Then if you win and you take him out of the net, then what does that create? Yeah, so that's a conundrum. But don't you agree with me that when you saw the goal, when you saw Vasilevskiy come on the ice, leading the Lightning onto the ice as a starter, if you're the Blackhawks just thinking, let's go.
Game on, baby.
This is great. This is a good opportunity. You got a 20-year-old rookie against us. You know, the class of the league, all these goal scorers. So I just thought he played great in net. He did. But they helped him. And the credit to the Lightning, they possessed the puck. They played great defense in the first period. But the Hawks did not come out with that anger and with that emotion that Joel Quenneville spoke about. They came out listless again. Two shots in the first period, that's not the way that you welcome a 20-year-old rookie to the NHL playoffs.
Agreed. 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. Cubs win big.
Yep.
White Sox win. Play long ball. Both clubs do. Rick Hahn will join our show tomorrow morning.
We got Eddie Olczyk, 9:55.
Eddie Olczyk's coming up. We'll talk hockey with him.
Brian Campbell.
And they will re-air game 4 today at 3 on CSN Chicago.
That'll be a lot of fun.
So that'll be a lot of fun as well. Plus, NBA playoffs resume tonight.
Yes, and 10:25, Brian Campbell joining us.
Looking forward to it. So all coming up, Cap and Haw will be right back this hour of the program, brought to you by a gentleman that I saw at the game last night, Ricky Apt, Apt Electronics. He was there with his son Jake, and said, yeah, well, we have the show on every TV in the store every day. 312-235-2525. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and Haw.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
That's the great Doc Emmerich, as he so eloquently called Game 4 last night. Guy is just phenomenal. Just velvety smooth to listen to.
Yeah.
And the Hawks held off the Lightning's furious push late. John Cooper saying to the media after, I can't believe one of those didn't go in.
I couldn't either. As Eddie O said, there were some A-plus chances there. And Corey Crawford was as clutch as he's ever been down the stretch in that sequence. And he has he gave the Hawks what Joel Quenneville called a goalie win. And as much doubt as he has raised at some points this series, being just okay, in the words of Quenneville, after Game 2, was it? Last night, Corey Crawford should have given his critics zero ammunition and made him feel a little silly, because that was a guy that rose up when the Hawks needed it most.
It was a goalie win.
I agree, Q.
It was. He was outstanding.
That was one of the things that Q was right spot on about last night.
And the one goal he had no shot at. It's a great pass by Valtteri Filppula. And Killorn put it home.
He didn't know where the puck was.
No shot.
And that was a turnover by our guy Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Right, he lost a board battle and then turned the puck over. And it's funny, as you watch Filppula, he's coming this way around the net. All of a sudden, he doesn't make the whole move all the way around the net. He flips it back this way. I don't know how he did it. Boom!
It was a great pass.
Great pass.
And the Lightning have some great passers.
How about the Seabrook stick on the wraparound by Ryan Callahan?
Huge.
Crazy.
Huge.
There are times I'm watching Corey and I'm like, he doesn't know where the puck is. I'm going to scream, it's to your right.
Do you think he could hear you? Oh, that's Cap. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to react now.
It's a jerk Cap. I'm in your corner, man, Corey. You know that,
we
man.
We had that moment in 2013.
Since then, I've been his guy.
Sort of.
All right, let's go to the phones.
All right.
312-235-2525. Let's start with our guy Markel on the west side.
Okay.
Hey, Markel, what's going on there? Sparkles?
Hey, Markel.
Hey, Markel. Markel, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're on the air, buddy.
I know, man.
Turn your TV down.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. Whatever.
It's only live television.
Whatever
and
you
radio.
Want, Markel.
Whatever you want here, buddy.
Do you have a remote?
Do-do,
got up to turn it off.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, Markel, you're on the air, buddy. Everyone in Chicago's listening to you.
What's going on? How y'all doing?
Doing good. What cereal are we eating this morning?
I'm not eating cereal right now. I'm about to go outside and do some yard work.
Sounds like you're working. Good. What's on your
mind? Man, Joe Quenneville was right about Duncan Keith. That man is a doggone freak.
He is a freak.
Yeah, and if they do win the finals, I think he should be up in discussion for Conn Smythe Trophy because the way he's been playing this whole playoffs, I've been really impressed.
If they win the title, Markel, he's going to win the Conn Smythe.
I think that's no
There is no other legitimate candidate.
Well, there's no one who's been as consistent as he has throughout each series and certainly this series. He's been probably their most consistent player. You have
– Oh, yeah. Catman, I was calling to give you the address to that restaurant I was telling you about. It's
yeah.
2748 North Lincoln.
2748 North Lincoln.
Yeah.
And what's the name of it again?
It's called Batter and Berries.
Batter and Berries. Okay, you're the man.
Thanks, Markel.
Have a good day.
Right. You too.
There you go. Markel on the west side.
Sitting here listening to y'all's show, eating a big bowl of Apple Jacks.
That's our
Maybe
guy.
Maybe you can meet him for breakfast. All right, so he mentioned the Duncan Keith and a lot of respect for him. You know, the thing about and Joe Quenneville was asked yesterday after the game. Somebody actually asked Joe Quenneville if he thought that Duncan Keith could play 60 minutes.
That question. My wife and I, we get in the car. So I had been listening to satellite radio channel 218 NHL Network at like 2 o'clock, 2:30.
Boomer and Carton overdrive or overtime? Is that what it is?
Boomer's on vacation.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I just figured that you had some way to catch Boomer late.
No.
Late show with Boomer.
No. No, he's on vacation.
All right.
Jesus.
So I am in the car. I had to go up to a meeting for Brett at his school. So I'm driving back to get to the United Center, and I'm going to be there early. I get to the United Center like 3:15, and I'm listening to the NHL show. And they're talking about everything in hockey going on and the series and all that. I leave it on that channel. I get in the car, and there's John Weidemann, Troy Murray, Judd Surratt, who do just awesome work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes from that channel flips to like their national post-game show. I wanted to hear those guys' perspective because I've been listening to Troy and got his. No shot. My wife's in love with John, Troy, and Judd. She's like, I'm not listening to the national show.
You wanted to listen to the national perspective on this?
Just for a little while to hear what they're saying, because I had already heard Troy say you can't play this way and win a Stanley Cup.
Troy Murray was
he was highly critical.
He was very critical and I think very accurate in his assessment of what was happening last night and what wasn't happening. And he was very honest, and I give him credit for being as forthright as he was. After the first period, and I quoted him in my column, trying to see exactly what he said. He said that he was watching, you know, the Blackhawks had two shots on goal in the first period. And this is Troy Murray at the end of it. I'm not seeing the determination. I'm seeing the will of the Lightning stronger than it is for the Blackhawks.
Yep, that's exactly right. I saw that in your column, but I had also heard him say that.
And that, you know, we talk about this a lot in hockey. And I think sometimes it is hard to, you know, quantify. And certainly it's hard to maybe get that. It does make a bigger difference in hockey than other sports, I think. I don't know why that is, but would you agree that's true? I mean, the whole sort of want to. I mean, football maybe is comparable, but I, you know, baseball, I think you can be pretty casual and still be
baseball,
a 300
Baseball, you could
hitter.
Be a left fielder and your pitcher's just dealing, striking out 17.
You'd be
and
out to lunch,
like,
yeah. Hey.
Well, look at that girl in third row.
Nice job, Chris Sale.
God, that hot dog looks good. Love to get
some.
Wow.
I can't wait till I'm going out clubbing tonight. You know,
right.
That's the way you could look at it.
Not in hockey.
No way. And not in football so much. If you're a middle linebacker, I don't think that you're doing a whole lot of daydreaming. You've got to have that sort of mentality. And in hockey, it's even, I think, more exaggerated or pronounced. And so we talk a lot about will and determination and urgency and passion and emotion, anger, whatever you want to call it. And the Blackhawks didn't have it. Again, but I don't understand that.
But part of it is they spent almost half the first period on special teams.
Well, you would think that, okay, that would explain why they had limited chances offensively. I don't know that you would use that as an excuse for why they didn't play with such an obvious sense of urgency to the point where a professional, a guy who's accomplished as a player, now as a broadcaster, Troy Murray is not a, I'm sorry, he's not going to look at it from a meatball perspective.
He's not.
He's going to look at it from a trained eye with his benefit of his experience, and he's saying that the determination of the Lightning exceeded that of the Blackhawks. That, to me, speaks volumes.
Did you were at the press conference when Joel spoke.
Yeah.
Joel said, they asked him that question.
Yeah.
And he said, look, we were on special teams, and they got a good jump on us. But he said, I thought we were okay.
But I think that was in the context of why the offense was missing and why they only gave Vasilevskiy two shots to think about in the first period. Mm-hmm. That's understandable. They also were kind of trying to remember maybe, what line am I on? Who's my line mate? Am I going on the ice?
There goes Taves. I'm with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There I go. Brad Richards. Oh, wait. I'm not a center here. I'm a wing here. And Shaw. Well, what am I doing? I mean, there's a chemistry that was missing early.
It looked like it.
And
they were not, as I asked for yesterday, tape to tape.
That's right. Somebody said that we're not tape to tape.
I want tape to
crisp
tape. Saturday
tape
night.
To tape.
Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today, ABT. See the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience, shop where we shop. Apt. A-B-T. Apt. Pleasing people since 1936. Apt.com, the website. Ask for Steve Shapiro. We'll be right back. Cap and Haw.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
They were sloppy, and Joel Quenneville juggled all four of his lines, and they weren't in sync. I mean, there's no question the Hawks wanted to get a much better start than they had. They couldn't make a pass. Tampa Bay had all the pressure. They were working in the offensive zone because of turnovers by the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't know if it's because the players were unfamiliar with the line mates that they're out on the ice with, but there's no question that the cohesiveness that you need at home was not there early in this game.
That's Keith Jones, NBC Sports and NBCSN, said Joel Quenneville's line changes. Insane.
Yeah, he was strong.
He joined us yesterday on Sports Talk Live. We didn't know the line changes yet.
No, and he had some great insight on Sports Talk Live. It was nice to meet him in person.
A nice guy.
Had the pleasure of doing so. Right, he's very down to earth, and his insight pretty pointed. But I think that when you watch the first period, and that I think was after the first period, so the rest of the game had yet to happen, right?
Correct.
Your reaction was just that. It was like, okay, we understand Joel's reputation. He certainly has earned the benefit of the doubt, but this stretched the bounds of, you know, what of that belief in him, because it was as if there was no rhyme or reason to some of the combinations. You were not scoring, but you had a third line in Vermette, Sharp, and Tavo playing very well together. Your fourth line was as consistent as any line that you've had throughout the playoffs. Now, in game three, your top line was creating the chances, and that broke that up too. Who benefited from all the juggling? Well, Patrick Sharp played better. He played better with Hossa and Taves on his line. Most people do. Patrick Kane showed up a little bit more. Brad Richards, I thought, was a factor, more so than he had been. So, I mean, there were isolated guys, but I think overall, early on, they were feeling their way. And it was very frustrating to watch. I would imagine from a fan's perspective, it also contributed, I don't know if it was cause-effect or which created which response, but that building, pretty dead in the first period.
It was great in the anthem.
Well, again.
Again.
We talked about it, though, and I ask you this again.
No, it does not. Does not. I disagree.
The anthem doesn't take something out of the crowd, so they sit there and they're like, well,
no, because as the game started, it was let's go Hawks. And they had it going. Absolutely. I just think you asked me this earlier, having been to, I think I saw 31 of the 41 home games in person.
Okay.
And I've seen almost every playoff game
in person. And I asked you, how does the Stanley Cup final crowd compare to a regular season crowd?
It's a little different. Like,
you know what I mean, though? There's a lot of people at the Stanley Cup final that are there, like, to remember an occasion. They don't go to regular season games. They have an opportunity to get tickets. They go, but they're not really like...
Well, the guy sitting behind me tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, are you from Cap'n Haw? I'm like, I am.
Which one are you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm the writer.
That happens to me all the time.
I'm not the fan. I'm the journalist. Anyway, I
said,
how'd you get the seats? He said, I went online and bought them. And I said, "What? Can I ask what you paid? $1,000 a ticket. He and his girlfriend. $1,000 a ticket. And so there is a lot of that. You know, I'm sure there are season ticket holders that go, well, I got to pay for next season. I can sell a few games.
Can't blame anybody who does that, right?
I didn't do that.
Can you? Okay, but would you blame anybody who does that?
No.
I understand.
I can't.
Good. I didn't know if you were one of those guys.
Now, if you said to me, not you, David Haw, a fan said to me, hey, I'll buy your two tickets for game six. I don't think I would do
it. $2,000 a piece.
No.
Oh, you would too.
No shot. No shot. I buy the seats to go and enjoy it with my wife.
I'll give you $4,000 for your two tickets.
No.
Game six.
No.
You can watch it at home and
no.
You can stand up during overtime and you can sit with your dogs and them lick you in the face and watch the hockey.
No shot.
No shot?
No shot.
I wish you weren't a liar.
No, because I could have put mine up for good for you. I'll bet I could have gotten for my seats, two aisle seats, 212. I'll bet you I could have gotten minimum $1,500 a ticket last night.
Probably so. There are a lot of people that paid a lot of money to get into the building last night. So I ask you again, knowing that, maybe you got some first-timers. Maybe you have some infrequent.
We got some who are just thrilled to be in there.
Fans, right. So doesn't that contribute to the whole thing? The anthem is like the ultimate experience. It's from a fan's perspective, besides the game, that it peaks at the anthem. And then you're watching the first period. You're kind of relaxing for a while.
But the whole start was, let's go Hawks. I mean, for a while. They were into
it. For a while. I heard it. I was there. I wasn't, like, chanting. I was in the press box.
You had headphones on. You listened to John and Troy.
I had a little – I have an earbud in one ear, and I listen to –
Let's bring the big beats out there.
No, I don't think so. Tracy Myers, I think, wears headphones in the press box so she can not hear anyone say, hey, Tracy, how you doing? Yeah, she just nods. She can't hear exactly what you're saying. You know, Tracy, terrible story yesterday. Thank you. Yeah, she
Tracy,
has no
what
idea.
The heck kind of sweater is that?
Yeah, she.
Thanks, appreciate
she's got,
it.
She's got this noise canceling headphones on because she's locked in. She's locked in, and I like to listen to Troy and John and Judd in my left ear, and the rest of the world in my right ear. So I have one in.
That would drive me insane.
What would drive you insane about it?
I would just have both in. I would want to hear just.
Because you can't do more than one thing at once. You've never been known for doing
that.
Oh, yeah, I know you can. So the thought of having Troy and John talk to me in my left ear and then maybe Chris Cook talk to me in my right ear you can't get that.
Well, I used to bring my wireless earbuds to listen to John and Troy while we were sitting at the game.
Yeah.
Well, my wife is a very talkative hockey fan. Thinks she knows the game. Elevate! I'm like, you know, like three terms. Stop.
Thinks she knows the game? You're going to diss your wife like that?
She knows some.
She knows the game.
Yeah. But elevate! Okay. Get back in your net. I mean, she's unbelievable.
Now you're trash-talking your wife.
And so.
All right, awesome.
Yeah. She's just.
All right, so.
I love Mindy, but she's a goof sometimes.
Finish the thought.
So I had the headphones on listening.
Yeah.
I had one ear off so she could talk to me, and I was tweeting at the same time while I'm watching the game.
Shocking.
And she's like, here's the deal. Either talk to me, tweet, or listen. You can't do them all.
Well, see, you're there as a fan, so I can understand the edict that she gave
you.
Like,
I could go by myself if she was not available. I love going with her. But rather than, like, if she was.
So you'll sell her ticket for game six, but you wouldn't sell yours.
Pretty much.
Okay.
But, like, if I was there by myself, I'd put the headphones on.
You might
I'd
be
listen,
on Monday.
I'd be tweeting. Yeah, that's a good point. There's nothing better than going with her.
But stop qualifying it. You're in deep already. But you're there as a fan, so I can understand why you, whoever was going with you, would not want you to be preoccupied with all your little gadgets, because you're a gadget guy.
I am.
But I'm working. Okay, so if I'm there working in the press box, I've got the Twitter machine open.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Troy and John in my ear, and I've got the other ear because I have to communicate with my colleagues.
Right.
So that's my
MO. Who do you sit next
to? Chris Cook and Chris Hine. I have to remember.
Oh, so they put the Tripsters together.
Yeah, Tripsters are together. And then Tracy's over there and the rest of the crowd.
Laz.
Yeah. Well, Laz, they're in the first row.
They get better real estate, huh?
That's debatable. They also have to put up with the fans who are in the back row. So, I like where I'm sitting. I'm not complaining.
Good.
It's a great seat. Lucky to be there. Last night was one of those. Last night was no different than the rest of the hockey playoffs.
Let's go back to the phones. Joe in Vegas. Right. Hey, Joe.
Cap, good morning. Hey. Oh, good morning.
What's up, Joe? Buddy?
Number one. Cap, this is just totally off subject. Wouldn't we have to ask your wife how much she asked for the price of the tickets? Because doesn't she wear the pants? Anyways.
Wow.
Dude, you are one bandwagon. You are, buddy, because let me tell you something. Take a look at the Blackhawks. What happened to Jonathan Toews yesterday? The whole country, whole world seen Toews get taken down right in front of the goal. Goaltender, what's no whistle, nothing. Our guy touches their goaltender, boom, we get penalized for it. And oh yeah, you tweeted after the game, oh, that was a tough play that Saad made. No, that was a spectacular play to have the puck picked by the goaltender, then see it with his eye, kick it with his foot, and then have the gall that just bend his right shoulder away from his defender and kick the puck into the net. That was awesome. Plus, the Hawks are taking elbows to the head. How these guys ain't dizzy from all the concussions from the elbows they've been getting? They've been playing the Western Conference, which we all know is the toughest division. Tampa Bay, who they playing? The East, a bunch of, we know it, soft guys. But now they got a big team coming up like the Hawks. Joe Quenneville took our fastest three and put it against their fastest three. I love it. Quinny, keep them quizzing, buddy. Give them a quiz every game. I love it.
Joe, all right, Joe, thanks, man.
Give me a break, dude.
Okay,
Don't ever debate Michael Jordan and LeBron James with Lazarus. Because he's so pessimist. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen would tear up LeBron because all they would do is harass him, double-team him, and they would have him crying at the end of the first quarter of every game. And when he goes to lower his shoulder, guess what? They'd stand there, take the foul, and get knocked out.
All right, Joe, we got to roll, baby.
Thanks,
have
Joe.
Have a nice morning.
You too.
All right, Joe. I don't know what. I think he just likes to say bandwagon at this point because it has nothing to do with anything that I wrote or said. How does that relate to Brandon Saad's goal? This is what I tweeted after Brandon Saad scored. Saad makes it happen with 13:38 left, beats Vasilevskiy on tough play in front of the net.
Dave Haw is just a bandwagon guy.
Was it not a tough play in front of the net?
It was.
Took a lot of skill.
It did.
A lot of concentration. The Sodder. That guy's something else. Talk about a kid on a hot streak.
He's going to get paid, man.
Well, he will get paid, but he's not going anywhere. Hawks going to keep him.
By the way, Alshon Jeffrey at the game last night, apparently.
Was he?
My buddy Matt Forte was there.
I saw they showed him on the big screen. I was kind of curious as I tweeted out that I didn't see you. You must have gone for a bathroom break at that point. Because you were sitting together, right?
Yeah, Matt and I had dinner.
Yes, right. That's good.
Absolutely.
And so was, you see Fred Hoiberg?
I saw the Hoy man
hoodie.
There.
The Indian head sweater there.
That was good. Foxy and Ryan Pace were there.
Vince Vaughn
was there. It was very cool. Very cool. Bishop Paprocki from Catholic Church. I met with him and had a little chance to talk with him. The bishop. They brought all the heavy hitters. The holy goalie was there, man.
Hey. I did not see you mingling with the bishop. Was that pregame? Was that after Sports Talk Live?
Yeah, it was. For weeks, you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. You bring in all the heavy artillery, man. For weeks, you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. Have you taken my advice and ordered yourself a MyPillow yet? MyPillow, the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it. Absolutely no risk to you. Sleep on it for 60 nights. And if you don't love it as much as I do, no problem. Return it. They'll refund 100%, 100% of your purchase price. That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. MyPillow, the official pillow recommended by the National Sleep Foundation and me. Folks, we bought these. That's right. My wife bought them, fell in love with them, said, you guys should advertise with Cap'n Haw. They said, we're in. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity coming. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Test one out, see why they've sold over 5 million. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products using the promo code CAP, K-A-P. Log on, MyPillow.com. Use the promo code CAP or call 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Promo codes K-A-P, CAP, 50% off. Quick timeout, phone lines are hopping. Eddie Olchek at 9:55, Brian Campbell, 10:25. Be right back.
It's Cap'n Haw.
Here's Saad with a shot. He scores! Brandon Saad off of an individual effort. Took the puck off the faceoff from the bottom of the left circle. Carried in front of Vasilevsky and got away a backhander. That finds the back of the Lightning net. The Hawks are back on top at 2-1.
You know, I was really pretty lucky. I just saw space going to the net and try to drive and create some chaos. The goalie made a good play with poking the puck and bouncing around to my feet. Finally, I found it to my stick and just tried to get some wood on it and get it to the net, and it found a way in through his legs. So really, it was just trying to get to the net, create some chaos, and found a way in.
At Sutter, after you heard the goal call by the great Johnny Wideman on Blackhawks Radio on WGN AM 720. Kevin Hawk continues on Comcast Sportsnet WGN Plus.
Loved hearing Brandon Saad say he just wanted to get some wood on it.
That was good. Create some chaos was good too.
Create some chaos, which was the mentality. Brad Richards helped make that play, creating a little space.
By the way,
for Saad, and I think Saad did the rest.
Both major papers in town.
Yeah,
the Times and Sun Times and the Tribune do great job. Both papers at covering what's going on.
There's the qualifier here.
But
okay.
I have to tip my cap to the Sun Times this morning. Their picture on the front page is sick. That's a sick picture. ESPN used it on ESPN.com on their front page. The eyes bulging out of the head of Brandon Saad.
Bill Smith.
He's phenomenal.
Nice photo.
That is a great shot of his eyes bulging out like awesome.
You saw Brandon Saad very poised, very in control, and very professional last night at the podium. And you heard him talk about, you know, break down the play. You heard him talk about his sort of development. You heard he was sitting next to Jonathan Toews, and you saw a guy who sounded like a seasoned veteran. And you reminded yourself when you walked away, this kid's 22 years old. He's 23 months older than Teuvo Teravainen.
Right, we're all going, well, relax, Teuvo's young.
Yeah.
Brandon Saad was an integral part of a cup winner in 13.
And I think sometimes we forget just because he, you know, much to the chagrin of the NBC bosses, has that playoff beard that's come in all full, and he looks much older and more mature than maybe he is. This is his fourth NHL season. Fourth! And now he was up and down for the first couple. He played some AHL games. Even during the lockout season, I think he played a little bit in Rockford.
Well, somebody's saying to me here on Twitter, Chris Lowy, Saad is going to get dollars. Look for Pittsburgh to make a hard run at him. He's a restricted, not unrestricted.
Restricted free agent, and Pittsburgh might throw an offer sheet at him. They may force the Hawks to pay more than they would want to, but it's money well spent no matter what they have to pay.
Correct.
You're talking about not just a solid player. You're talking about a potential top-of-the-league, all-star caliber forward for years to come.
Correct, but if you go back and you're Brandon Saad and your agent says to you, okay, back channels, I think Pittsburgh's going to go to whatever. The Hawks will go here. It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Obviously, he's going to get paid. But Pittsburgh's, let's say, at 4, you're at 3. Are you leaving – what you've built.
I think the Hawks have the right to
they
mash,
can match any
and,
offer.
And keep him.
Correct. But if the Hawks said, dude, we need you to take the three and not sign the offer sheet because we need that space to keep this thing on track. We're going to be retooling a little. If you're Brandon Saad and you're in such an unbelievably great situation, and I get it, it's $1 million. I get it. Mm-hmm. But you could make some of that up endorsement-wise in this city as you become a bigger star. Wouldn't you go, yeah, I'm going to work with you?
Well, let's
Kane
talk.
Kane and Taves left $3, $4 million apiece on the table.
Let's ask Brian Campbell again at 10:25 when we talk to him how much he misses playing in Chicago. I mean, there's a built-in advantage.
That's a great question for him.
There's a built-in advantage when you're a Blackhawk, and not to take anything away from the Pittsburgh Penguin organization or any other proud, great, successful franchise. But Brandon Saad has established himself in Chicago. He's part of this system. He's part of this identity now. He's part of the core. I don't know that he would be motivated to leave, even though he grew up with Mario Lemieux poster on his bedroom wall and was a teenager when Sidney Crosby came into the league and would watch games and want to play for Eddie Olczyk. You don't know.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
You don't. All those things matter. But at some point, sentimentality takes a backseat to practicality. And practically speaking, Brandon Saad understands, I think, that he's good for the Blackhawks, but the Blackhawks have been very good for him.
No question about it.
So I don't see this divergent path being taken. I don't think he's going anywhere. And he's as valuable. We could have the pecking order if you want. I don't know about if it's necessary. He's extremely valuable to the Blackhawks. They understand that. And if anybody forgot that, he has 4 goals in his last 6 games. Pretty good reminder.
All right. Let's go back to the phones before we get
just try to get some wood on ink.
That's right. Let's see. We're going to John in Algonquin. Hey, Johnny, what's up, buddy?
Morning, guys. I have a quick question for you. One thing I don't understand what the Hawks are doing is if when they get the puck near their goal and they race down the ice, as soon as they cross the blue line, they shoot it into the corner. Why do they do that as opposed to just keeping control of it and going toward the net?
Eddie Olczyk says it is a chip and chase game that you have to outwork people in the corners, and that's the best way to get things set up.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand why they would do it. So, because I've seen them doing it throughout the playoffs. It was just driving me mad.
Well, some of it also is the puck. There's so much more emphasis on matchups in the playoffs versus the regular season that if they see the Stamkos line
change,
step on the ice,
they change.
Dump it in, and boom, you get off and they get on.
That's what you have seen. I think that drives some people, like John, maybe a little bit crazy. Thanks for the phone call,
thanks,
John.
Man.
I think they would like them to see them develop something when, in fact, Cap, I think is just what you described. Sometimes they just want to get the right line on the ice at the right time, so that's the way they go about starting it.
Let's go back to Mike in Phoenix. He's next. Hey, Mike. What's up there, buddy?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, I couldn't wait to wake up this morning and see what you guys had to say on your show.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
But it looks to me as though I was a little bit confused. I think Coach Q may have actually tried to outsmarted himself. It looked as though to me the lineup was a bunch of names got thrown in a hat, and then they posted the lineups. And it had to be difficult for the players, for the Blackhawks. It looked like it with only 2 shots on goal in the first period. This series has been, as a diehard Hawk fan, excruciating to watch. I thought the Anaheim series was tough. This one is becoming even tougher. And what I think I'm starting to see, I mean, the Hawks are trying with all their might, but I think I'm starting to see what is a tired hockey team. I think finally maybe what happened in Anaheim is starting to come out in this series. And, boy, I'm hoping that's not what it is because they got 2 days coming off, but I'm hoping that's not it.
Well, Mike, I think you're right in terms of the cumulative toll is taking on the Blackhawks, and maybe it's all adding up now. This extra day of rest is going to help immensely for a team that might be mentally and physically fatigued. You got 3 games left, though, best of 3. Now is no time to be focusing or dwelling on how tired you feel. Now is the time to have to try to fight through that. Now, you're playing against the fastest team in hockey. That could also make you look a little bit, slower or a half step behind. It all contributes to the same thing. The Hawks have to overcome this. I don't know how much it has to do with the Ducks series. It was a physical series. this series less physical. But
I still think some
still
of the
demanding.
Ducks series is taking something out of them. But
what do you think? What do you think of Oduya playing? I mean, the guy's playing with one hand.
There's no question, Mike. And we appreciate your call, by the way.
Tough guy.
Tough guy blocked the team high along with Keith 5 shots.
You'd rather have him with one hand than maybe David Rundblad or Kyle Kuminsky with two.
No question. No question. 312-235-2525. The Great Ed Zoe, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer. And then your calls is next.